Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished up Tarek Brock's Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast live from Pittsburgh as the Pirates take on the Reds this weekend. And now we go into the Breaking It Down podcast with yours truly, Mark Mancini, live from Los Angeles, California, 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, my special guest today is Danielle Orsino. And first of all, Danielle, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Great. I'm doing good. So blessed to do this thing with you. How can people get a hold of you? You know, so if somebody wants to contact you, we'd like to let everybody know where they can get you.
You can always find me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, F-A-E underscore novel, or on my website at birthofthefae.com.
Okay, when we get into this thing, and I know you and I have been talking about starting a podcast. I know you're going to be on, you know, the Mark Kupferman show this coming Monday, Mark Men Madness. We're talking about getting you in Philly on WWDB AM 860 with Marianne and Sal. And then next Saturday would be Sports Talk Saturdays with Bruce and Scott. So that's going to be good to get you across the airwaves. And, you know, the first thing that sticks out to me is, you know, when I look at women in sports, it's amazing how it's just been picking up steam across the board, and more women are getting involved as far as getting, you know, as sideline reporters, as on-air hosts. What was the inspiration behind you to get into sports and everything? Because, boy, your knowledge and expertise is second to none.
Oh, thank you so much. It's kind of funny. I was, I'm dyslexic, and my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Willman, figured it out when my math teacher was like, now she's just lazy, whatever. He was my science teacher, and he figured it out. So what he did was, when the Giants were having their amazing run in 86 with Parcells, he actually started asking me questions about it. And he would say, go home, I want you to count how many times Phil Simms throws the ball. And then he'd say, okay, how many times did he actually drop it? Or how many drop passes? And he started getting me into stats to teach me math. And that's actually how I got into the Giants. So he started teaching me math through football. And that was really what solidified my love of football and the Giants, was being taught math in a very unorthodox way. And he was really the catalyst for all of this. And through nursing school, when I went into nursing school and dosage calculations, I went back to that formula of learning stats and figuring out the quarterback completion rating and all that stuff, percentages, just watching football again. And that's always how it's been. So I kind of have a thing for my New York Giants, whether they are doing bad or doing good. You know, it always is with the Giants. It's flashes of greatness followed by droughts of mediocrity.
Yeah, and when you look at the way, you know, everything is progressing, and let's take football, for instance, and we'll get into the Giants situation. I know you've done some work with those guys, but I want to talk about the Deshaun Watson thing that broke the other day. You know, to me, I think teams look at talent and accountability, character, integrity is not part of this, and that's frustrating in more ways than one. It tunes out a lot of people because when these things aren't brought to the forefront, people can do whatever the hell they want. You know, here's a guy that had massages and, you know, happy endings and whatever you want to call it. And the, you know, the NFL wanted to get him a year. They came on with six games, and now it's 11 games and $5 million, which he'll donate to charity. But to me, I would have cut ties with this guy a long time ago. I would have just said, you know, this is going to fall in the same category. When you look at a Trevor Bauer, when you look at a Ray Rice, when you look at the whole thing with Tom Brady, the NFL came down and Major League Baseball came down on these guys But to give a guy a pass like this, I mean, it sends a clear-cut message that a guy can have 100 of these things happen, and he might only get 13 games. What's your thought on that?
I think in regards to Deshaun Watson in this case, I think it lets us know where the NFL stands on women. That's the bottom line. You look at his case, but then you look at overall how the NFL treats women. Look at how they treat the Raiderettes, how they treat the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, the cheerleaders in general. They don't have a union. You know, how much money do they get per game? We're still not there. How many women coaches do we have? And I just mean strength and conditioning coaches. You know, how many reps do we have? The NFL is still a bit antiquated in their treatment of women and letting women in. I had myself developed a helmet, and I remember being told by a company that has ties to the NFL, they were like, this is a phenomenal idea. You're never getting it in. And I was like, why not? And they said, there is no way they're going to take it from a woman. And that was flat out. They were like, we're going to go off the record. They actually called me after I submitted it to them. And they said, no. They said, you have to get a former player. And they said, and a high-up former player, a high-level one, and a man to present it. They said, if it came from him, you would get this in. They said, coming from you as a woman, regardless of your medical background and everything, no. They said, we're really sorry. It's just, they were like, we back it. We love it. But they said, try going through the XFL, try going through this. They said, it's never coming from a woman. No way. And I had come up with ideas about, you know, magnets, you know, throughout the lines, you know, to see if the wide receiver goes out of bounds, to try to, you know, speed up the game a little bit, things like that, to stop challenges, you know, unnecessary ones. And they were just like, coming from a woman, no. I just think we're not there yet with the NFL. It's just, it's still, you know, a guy's place. That's just how it is. Trying.
Yeah, and when you look at Kevin Durant over there in Brooklyn, this is another turnoff for people in the NBA that you make a lot of money and then you go to the owner and you basically say the coach needs to go, the general manager needs to go, and then I'll sign here. What kind of job go on and tell everybody that you got to go and I'm going to run this place? It just, you know, to me it sounds asinine. But this is the state of the NBA where people can get away with it until the owner just says, you know what, we're not doing that. You can go find yourself another city, kind of like Pat Riley did to LeBron James. Any thought to that?
Yep. I think we're just at that place where the personality and the name means more than the skill at times. We're just, you know, it's more about a brand than it is about anything else. I mean, at the end of the day, we're still a business. That's just where it's at. It's more about social media and things like that and packing the stadium sometimes than the game itself, if that makes sense. Unfortunately, you know, when you think back to, you know, even the 86 Giants in the days of Bavaro and LT, think about what, you know, LT got away with, you know,
right.
But still they all played together. You know, nobody was kicking anybody off the team because it was still for the good of the team. You know, like nowadays, would that, some of that behavior, would you get away with it? Would you not? It's all different. I think we're getting away from the game itself, and we're all about social media stars and names and endorsements versus we're here to play a game. But in contrast to that, and maybe hockey are putting, you know, when you think in the wake of CTE and things, are putting their lives on the line. So there's a very odd dichotomy and a weird balance that I don't think we've quite figured out. So some of these guys are saying, well, I'm putting my neck out on the line. I want this. So until we can figure out more safety measures, it's a hard give and take.
Yep. 5 minutes left in this great interview. We got to do it again. I mean, you're that good. Tell us about the New York Giants. You've done some work with them. I think this is really interesting what you've done with them.
I've covered the Giants before. I've also looked at it more from a medical standpoint where I've tried to explain injuries and things like that in podcasts and stuff and explained when things go down and injuries go down, you know, kind of the layperson, because we've had issues where people are like, I don't understand what turf toe is. I don't get why, you know, a patella tear is so bad and so season-ending and career-ending in Victor Cruz's case and stuff like that. So I've kind of gone back and forth on that. Or when someone like Amani Toomer has taken kung fu. How does that help in, you know, toe drag? How does it help body control for wide receivers? We've had a lot of wide receivers that have taken martial arts, and how that has helped their body control or Tai Chi breathing to stop false starts. You know, different things like that. The Giants were really big on martial arts and helping it way back when, even, you know, during Saul's days, Cowboys and things, they were doing martial arts to help with body control. So martial arts has actually been a big factor in training, cross training, from way back when, before you know, martial arts were cool, and you know, it was just the thing to do. They were doing it, you know, for a long time. Different teams in the NFL. So that's something that I've also covered in different podcasts. But you know, at the end of the day, I bleed blue. Even in my book, my say bleed blue. There's no real scientific reason. It's just because I'm a Giants fan that they do that. So, you know, my love for the Giants runs deep, and I've covered them in the past.
Yeah, not only are you a beautiful lady, you're also an author. Tell us a little about that.
Yes, I am. I have a fantasy series called Birth of the Fae. I'm at book 4 right now, Kingdom Come, and I do have a novella that has just come out as well, which is a little piece, a little short story to the book called Fire, Ice, Acid, and Heart that is a dragon-centric story, and it's about a tournament that happens in the Fae community where the dragons and the Fae all fight for a place on their elite fighting forces. So it's just a little bit of everything. It's high fantasy, but it's not a 500-page story. They're all smaller books, so I kind of joke that I'm the gateway drug into the fantasy world, so that you don't feel overwhelmed. But, you know, it's a little bit of everything. So I like to just kind of let people into the fantasy world and have a nice time and a bit of an escape from the drudgery of the real world.
Okay, as the final question, and take a minute to decide on where you want to go with this, if you get one thing off your bucket list that you want to get off here in the near future, what would it be and why?
Oh, I have to go to Loch Ness. That's easy. I have to go. I'm obsessed with cryptids, specifically the Loch Ness monster. I'm so bad with it that I put it in my book and made him say, just to throw sea serpents in the book. So I need to go to Loch Ness just once, because I'm so positive that if I show up on the shores of Loch Ness, he's just going to pop himself out of the water with his little, you know, Scottish brogue and look at me and be like, oh, there you've been, Danielle. Where, you know, what took you so long to get here? Come on, let's go for a swim. I'm that sure it's going to happen. So, yeah, I need to go to Loch Ness and just visit it. And, and part of me wants to go, and the other part is it's like Schrodinger's cat. If I don't go, then I have the fantasy that he's going to be waiting for me. If I do go and nothing happens, my little childhood heart might break, because I grew up on like the Leonard Nimoy In Search Of videos. So, you know, it's one of those. But yeah, I want to go to Loch Ness just once.
Well, she's born and bred in New York. Now she's Charlotte's finest. As we wrap this thing up, Danielle, you're such a blessing to me, and I can't wait to do more things with you here in the near future. Let everybody know what you got on the horizon, and how can people get a hold of you?
Book 5 of the Birth of the Fae series comes out in September. The book is called A Fae Is Done. You can always find me at birthofthefae.com or my publisher's website, fourhorsemanpublications.com. You can check me out on the app Bookie Call, which is like Tinder for books. You can swipe right or left. Find Locked Out of Heaven, my first book there, or on Instagram at birthofthefae_novel.
Yeah, I'll always leave you with this quote that I heard. I always say, when God created women, the world was definitely complete. And what an interview. And I can't wait to do more of these down the line with you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
And guys, that completes our great show, the Breaking It Down podcast. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed weekend. And for Danielle Orsino, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying stay safe. We'll talk to you next time.